Hello and welcome to episode 88 of The Offline Gamer. I'm Matt.
I'm Karen.
And today is our wrap-up of AirCon 2024 that we were at a week ago as of recording. But we're not alone. We are joined by a friend of the show, someone we have known for probably 3 or 4 years, I would have thought, who lives like 10 minutes away from me. And he's always excitable. It's the ever-excitable Adam from Die Rolling. Adam,
hello. Welcome. I'm just lurking in the background here, watching you guys from the shadows. Yes, I am ever-excitable, as always, and my voice has recovered from aircon, so that's great for a podcast.
Yeah. I was thinking earlier, you've never been on the show before, but of course you have, because we put the Shiver episode on
our feed. Yeah. Didn't you? That was great fun.
It was good, yeah.
So before we talk about aircon, we've got the little matter of our competition from the last episode. I've put all of our correct entries into a spinning wheel of names, and I'm going to spin it now, and we'll see who our winner is. So just a reminder, the winner gets not only a copy of Tinder Blocks, which we have here, but Matt and Alicat Games generously donated a couple of extra editions of Tinder Blocks to our winner as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to click on the button to spin the wheel. It's spinning. And our winner is... it's Matthew Bailey.
Hey!
So Matt, we will get in touch with you to arrange those games. We'll send your address to Alicat as well, so they can send you what they want to send you. So I hope you enjoy. Congratulations, yeah. Right then, let's talk about the important thing, aircon. So, up in Harrogate last weekend, we did Saturday, Sunday. Adam, you went up Thursday evening, didn't you?
Thursday evening, yeah.
So you did Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So how was the Friday, first of all?
Well, we get ahead of ourselves. Thursday was fantastic, guys.
Oh, did you actually do any gaming on Thursday?
Last year was my first year at AirCon, and we got there about midday and then just kind of hung around Harrogate. This time we got there just before they opened. And I just sat down, played some, had a couple of games ready to play, had some randoms come join us. So it was just really fun. And I ran Eat the Reich, which is a pretty cool role-playing game where you play vampires coffin-dropped into a Nazi-occupied Paris. And the whole thing is you're supposed to drain all of Adolf Hitler's blood. It's not for everyone. It's very tongue-in-cheek. it was quite a fun kind of thing to do. And so I did that Thursday, and that was good.
Did you get to bite one of his testicles off?
That was my question throughout. I was like, how many testicles does he have? Or not have? Yes, no one knew at the table. People were like, oh, I think that's a conspiracy. I was like... Friday was pretty cool. It was Thursday was quite quiet. Friday pretty busy. And for the first time, this is only my second time here. My first time at AirCon, I actually noticed a lot more lightsabers that were on, indicating people were like welcoming other people to join them in for a game. So that was really nice to see, because last year I went along expecting to be able to join in people's games, but I just had to run games all weekend, which was fine. But Friday morning we ran a game of Captain Sonar. With some other kind of Instagrammers. So there was John from Troyman Games, K-Play Games, and her husband. And we had a random called Chris who we met, who was absolutely delightful. And that's probably the best thing about AirCon, in my opinion. I don't know about you guys, but just meeting random people and playing games with them and finding really nice people out there.
Yeah.
Is that the Chris we met on Saturday?
Yes. He played Heat with us. Yes.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, did you do any looking around at the exhibition hall on the Friday?
The Friday was very structured. It was like, well, I've only planned a few things over the weekend, but the Friday was going into the exhibition area, Hall M, lovely odor in there, and going around there and basically just seeing everyone and checking out some cool stuff and really kind of fawning over the guys at the Shiver booth, and being like, guys, I absolutely love your role playing. It was so good. I need to play more of it. The hash area is pretty good. Just all of it was, it seemed like it was smaller than last year, but it was busier. Like last year, people had said to me who were running stalls, it doesn't seem that busy, but all throughout I felt it was quite a big kind of footfall through the exhibition area.
Don't forget that the weather was against them last year.
Weather was really against us last year. This time it was glorious.
Yeah. Let's talk about the smell. Well, it was an interesting one. I don't remember it from last year.
No.
So I'm not sure what the difference was.
Yeah. I went in and was like, kind of smells like feet. And then the only comment I'd seen on the Facebook group was, well, two things, guys. The first thing, the doors are all open, so it's really cold. And the second thing, it smells like vomit in Hall M.
Yeah.
It was a weird smell, but by the end of it, it had gone. And once you've been there for a while, it didn't really matter, to be fair.
Yeah, I don't know if it was the air conditioning or something, but anyway. I'm sure Mark's had lots of comments about that, so I'm sure that will get sorted out for next year. I do think the exhibition hall was the same size as last year. I do think they did have a bit of an extra space that they didn't use last year, didn't they, for the raffle. So last year the raffle was in one of the rooms upstairs where they did all the seminars and things.
Yeah.
But this year they opened the the old
Royal
I don't even
Hall?
Know what
the Royal
what it was called.
Hall, yeah, it's like
was
a big
it called
yeah.
Royal Hall?
It's,
okay.
Wasn't it?
So it looks like an old 19th century theatre type thing, doesn't it?
It's beautiful. It was like gilded paintings everywhere, like on the ceilings, and lovely venue. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk about that when we get to the raffle, though. So, did you do anything on Friday evening?
Friday evening? Now you ask me questions here because they're like, oh my god, it's all still a bit of a blur. And I had a list when I did my YouTube rant about this. But I don't really think we did much on Friday evening. It was just playing games I brought with me. I brought way too many games, like just so many games and really big footprint games as well. I think actually I might play some Heat on the Friday just to remind myself how to play it when I was playing with you guys the following day. Overall, just a couple of games and meeting up some random people and some people I've met last year. And overall, Friday was a nice kind of pace.
Yeah, I mean, if we'd have done all 3 days, I think we'd have done most of our videoing and stuff on the Friday, wouldn't we?
Probably.
And then had the next couple of days as a relaxing and enjoying the show. As it was, we ended up doing all of our videos on the Sunday because I figured that would be better for the people we were videoing.
Yeah.
Because Saturday's going to be the busiest day.
Exactly.
Where did you stay in the end? Were you at the Crown?
So I was at the Crown, and it confused me because there's two of them, isn't there? It's like the Crown Plaza, which is right next to it, and then the Crown. My sound app was also confused. It was like, this isn't the place I was staying. We were at the Crown, myself and Alex from the channel, which is always fun. Sharing a room with a grown man my age. It was really nice. And we sprang out for breakfast this year, which was nice. Perfectly acceptable combination. Only a stone's throw away if you've got a really good throwing arm. It was lovely. It was perfect. It was exactly what we needed.
Yeah, we stayed there last year. It was really nice. Yeah. Did they have classical music playing when you checked in?
It's just dubstep.
They
did have that
change of pace from last year.
Yeah.
See, they saw us coming last year, and then they saw you coming this year and thought, right?
Oh, yeah, this guy's all about the dubstep. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, the beer festival was on there last year as well when we were there, so we had to fight through all the beer tasters.
Yeah, the beer festival was on this year, but what I noticed about the hotel this time around, apart from there being a 50th birthday party for Wendy. Whoever that was, many happy birthday.
Okay, happy birthday, Wendy.
Last time I went in there, there was like this little bar area, and there was like a couple of people who were clearly gamers who'd like got a card game out or something like that. This year, there were like people spread out everywhere. There's quite a big crowd in the hotel, which was nice to see.
Wow.
But by the time we went in, we were shattered, so it was like, let's go to bed now.
Yeah.
But so it was nice to see.
That's good. We ended up taking a massive bag of games and not playing a single one of them, didn't we?
I don't think we did, no. We played Heat with you on Saturday.
Yep.
We played... What did we play? We did a couple of demos in the playtest area, and that was... Honestly, I think that was about it. By the time we got back, we were too tired. It was too late if we'd gone out in the evening, because we booked a meal out on Saturday. We drove home on Sunday, and Friday, I think we were tired. Because we'd driven up, so
what's your like, guys?
It was really nice.
Yeah, it was lovely.
Yeah. We had like an Airbnb type setup, and not too far from the big Asda that was there.
Ooh.
And it was lovely. rarely quiet. On street parking, just a nice little, really nice, like little flat that was just perfect for the weekend.
Great.
Really. So, because there were three of us at the end, we booked it originally, not quite sure of numbers, and we ended up with three of us. My brother came along as well, who you met, and played heat with us, of course, on the Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, yeah, it was lovely. So
I think Airbnb is a great way to go for it. I think if I go again next year, I'll be doing that. Yeah, trying to get parking is tricky and costly.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Well, on the Crown as well, because they've only got that pokey little car park here at the front.
They have a total car park. I was very lucky last year. This year I was not so lucky. So I had to park in the convention center itself, and then trying to lug all the board games I brought with me. It was a bit of an effort. So I think an Airbnb going forward probably be a nice thing.
On the Sunday, we moved our car from, because we checked out of the apartment, we moved to the big multi-story just next door to the convention center.
Okay.
And that's that was only 5 minutes walk away. So yeah, I'd recommend that next year rather than probably parking in the game. It might be a bit cheaper than the convention center one as well. So.
£11 for the day, I think.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely cheaper than the
cheaper, not okay. Cheap, but cheaper.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got there, yes, Friday evening, checked in, instantly sort of fell asleep. What did we have for food?
We had the pizza, didn't we? So we did Pizza Express.
Oh, yeah. Did they mess up our order?
Other brands are available. No, they didn't. We thought they did.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I might have said that they didn't send something when they did and just packaged it in another box with something else. But it was nice. But yeah. And then we kept with the Italian thing. We ended up for an Italian meal on Saturday, which was Buonissimo. There we go.
Wow.
No, that's not right. It was Buonissimo. I thought you were saying the name of the restaurant.
No.
Okay. We might as well talk about that now, then you've segued into it. So we, my boss at work was in Harrogate recently-ish, but within the last couple of years. And so he recommended this Italian restaurant to us called Buon Gusto, which is literally... You know that when you come out the convention centre and go left, and then you cross over the traffic lights, then you've got that road that goes up the hill, and it was just a couple of minutes walk up there.
Nice.
And we booked a table for 7:30. We got there, the place was rammed. We had to wait a little bit for our table to become free because the people who were there were still just sitting around chatting and being annoying. I know, head down. But the staff there were really nice. They had this, that downstairs there was this waiter who must have been, I don't know, 70, six, late 60s, 70 years old, do you reckon?
Yeah.
Part of the furniture. He was, and just being as stereotypically Italian as you can be. And I said to Karen and Adrian, I said, if this guy could have been the worst waiter in the history of waiters, but they'd keep him here because he's like part of the furniture.
Yeah.
And he elevates the atmosphere.
Just to say, he was not the worst waiter. That's
no, he was not. He was a lovely. Lovely chap.
And,
So if you imagine like your stereotypical Italian waiter, that's what this guy was. But he was a lot of fun, and the food there was lovely.
Oh, really, really nice. Yeah, really enjoyed it.
So that's our tip. So you recommended Nomad Cafe to us last year. So this year we're recommending Buon Gusto to you.
Well, that's great because I was on a bit of a budget, I just ended up in spoons the entire time eating.
Oh, how dare
pizza.
You.
It was gross, but it kind of ticked a box.
Where is the spoons in Harrogate then?
If you
is it on that same road?
If you were staying at the Crown and you did not know where that spoons is, that's on you. It's like literally like a minute around the corner. It's kind of a little hidden. But it's quite big spoons in there. It was really busy and just full of gamers as well.
Okay.
Also on budgets, clearly.
Yeah. Yeah, because they're spending all their money on games.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. And parking.
And parking.
Games and parking. That's
games and parking.
Okay, let's talk about our Saturday then. So we got there at 10. We had a meeting booked with Mike, who was showing Pandora Celeste. Which you said you wanted to see, Adam, but I don't know if you got to.
Did not get a chance to go see that, so please tell me all about it, because it looks so good.
Well, you could always watch our video on the Offline Gamer YouTube channel.
Where can I find it?
But basically, it's a sort of homage to sci-fi movies, all the tropes in sci-fi movies, where you're basically playing a crew who, you know, wakes up from cryo sleep or whatever, and you're on this ship, and you have these objectives that you have to do, move around the ship, complete the objectives before the aliens can get you. I'm paraphrasing quite a lot. Mont does a lot much better job of explaining his own game than I do. But the thing that's really cool is the box is the board. Mm-hmm. So inside the box, you've got all the compartments where all the cards and things go when you're storing it. But when you fold out the box and take the cards out, the sort of raised edges of that insert becomes like the air vents that you can wander around inside. It's really good.
And the whole map is just printed on like the base of the box up the sides, and yeah, it just all folds flat around the edges, and you've got the entire map of the ship
I need to play this game.
It's really smart.
It sounds so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you watch our video, then you'll see the sort of demo version that Mike's made out of Perspex. But when they go to mass production, it'll be a proper molded plastic insert.
Oh wow.
That the characters can move around. It's fun. Yeah. It looks really fun. And we had a good chat with him, and he's really passionate about it, and he's put a lot of work into it. I'm excited to see how it does when he pops it on. Did you say it was going to be on Kickstarter or GameFound? I can't remember.
I feel like it was GameFound, but I'm not 100% sure.
A crowdfunding platform at some point.
One of the big well-known ones, I think. Yeah.
But they'll be at Expo as well. So if you didn't have a chance at Aircon, you'll be able to see it at Expo. So
I will message him privately and try to sort that out. But yeah, they look so good. I found myself asking any of the people at Exhibition Hall who had something coming to a crowdfunding platform, which crowd platform they were using. And everyone's coming up with different reasons as to why for Kickstarter and why for GameFound. I thought it was quite interesting because obviously with you had Cool Mini or Not, recently move over to GameFound, which is a shoot for GameFound. And also with GameFound, you have the whole stretch pay thing. So nerds like myself, who don't have the biggest disposable income, can just get into debt over an extended period of time rather than a few. So that's always a bit of a win. But I thought it was interesting how many people are choosing which platform and why.
Yeah. It's definitely less of a blanket Kickstarter around than there used to be, I think. Even in the short time that I've sort of been backing stuff, so the last few years.
I do think Kickstarter still has a higher reach than GameFound at the moment.
Yeah.
That was the main thing I heard from people. It was the name recognition of Kickstarter and obviously the reach of that. Whereas GameFound, I think, has some interesting features and a lot more control. Anyway, and Kickstarter take their cut as well, whereas I don't think GameFound do as much, but... I'm not a board game designer / logistics person, so I'm not the person to talk to.
Yeah.
Yeah, same here, I guess. Yeah.
Let's talk about what else we saw at the in the little demo area then. This wasn't in the main hall. They had a separate little area where people could get tables for a lot cheaper than they were in the main exhibition hall. I think they were about a third of the price from what I was discussing with a couple of the people there. And... I actually found that area a lot more enjoyable than the exhibition hall, if I'm being honest. It was a lot easier just to jump from table to table playing different games.
Yeah.
So
it's nice they've got that little section where you can just see that's where all the playtesting is and you could just go and sit down. Like you say, just hop between tables.
Yeah. Did we look at any more of those games on the Saturday or was it on the Sunday when we did most of them?
In the playtest area.
Yeah.
Most of them, I thought we did. We went round a couple of them on the Saturday, but I think the Sunday we ended up because we're gone with my brother and we're like, okay, we've got a couple of videos to do, and it just kind of grew. We're like, we've got one more, and then we'll meet you. We've got another one, then we'll meet you, and it was like we ended up doing loads on the Sunday just around that area. I'm trying to think because I think we went there quickly, and it was near the. No, it's near the game library. The Bring and Buy was in the other hall, wasn't it? I think so. I think we went there and then we went to the Bring and Buy to drop off.
Oh, that's right. So we did our meeting Saturday. With Mike. We went to the Bring and Buy to drop off all the games I want, and then we had a wander around. We just had an initial sort of recon of the exhibition area. And then we went to the talk that we had booked for 12 o'clock.
Oh, yes.
Which was Rosie from Cozy Games and Kim Joy from Bake Off.
Kim Joy's Magic Bakery.
Yeah, and her game. And they were talking all about Cozy Games.
Yeah.
Which was very interesting.
I heard about that.
Yeah. It was supposed to be booked out, but it looked like some people didn't turn up in the end, which was a shame because it was really fun. But I think everyone who was there like really enjoyed it from what I could tell. But it was a really fun, really entertaining. What was it? Was it 45 minutes?
45 minute discussion. Yeah. They were just talking about what makes a game cozy. What does coziness mean to them? And there was a few games that we saw that we might end up buying. Oh, we did buy one of them. We bought Kim Joy's games. So.
Yeah.
Where is it actually?
I've put it with the food themed games, I think.
Yeah, because of course we've got a section specifically for food themed games. Yes, I can see it from here. Yeah. Hang on, let me just go and grab it.
We've got a section of food themed games, and we've got a section of drink themed games, and we've had to separate them out because we've got too many to fit in one sort of cubbyhole, as it were, set of shelves.
Kim Joy's Magic Bakery, a cooperative baking card game.
I mean, you sold me on just the kind of tagline there. That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Your favourite British baker has moved to a magical forest and opened a bakery. Now Kim Joy needs your help to satisfy all her hungry customers. From sly foxes to needy cats, gossipy ducks to clumsy dinosaurs, you're about to have your hands full keeping this bakery running smoothly. Kim Joy's Magic Bakery is a light cooperative game for 2 to 5 players that tells an adorable story over 10 unique scenarios. No baking experience is required.
Oh, nice little end there. That's great.
I think from what, because they touched on that as part of the talk, but it wasn't the main focus. But they talked about what was in it, and it is just basic. I think a lot of the premise of it is getting the right ingredients. You've got like simple ingredients to make a cake, so like you won't have everything that goes into a cake, but you might need jam for a Victoria sponge, and then flour, and then icing or something like that. So you have to get those in combination, I think, is the kind of one of the main premises of the game. So yeah, it's a nice fun cozy game.
Well, that's great. That's, yeah.
Yeah.
Then after that, we went to the food area.
Ah, must have been lunchtime, yeah.
Yeah. Did you go to the food stalls at the back of the convention this year?
Last year, I went to the food stalls and had a great time. They were delicious for a kind of convention. I thought they were reasonably priced as well, and there's so much selection there as well. This year, like I say, budget Adam over here was going to Wetherspoons like close what? And just eating just rancid pizza for the entirety. So yeah, it was fun. But you guys went and had some nice things to eat, did you?
We did. I had we went to, was it Canoodle?
Canoodle, yeah.
I had a Korean chicken, barbecue chicken thing. What did you have?
I had the vegan equivalent, I think. So it's like a vegan, it was similar. It's like a vegan rice bowl with sort of like pickled vegetables and, I think it was like spicy, not chicken, but it was, I'm not exactly sure whether it was like corn, fake chicken protein. It was that kind of thing. But yeah, it wasn't bad. And I think I ended up coming back on the next day and having the actual chicken that Matt had the day before. So, but yeah, I mean, it is convention prices, but you kind of expect that at a convention, I guess. So
yeah.
But it was nice. It was nice. And they also had like the toasty sandwiches, poutine as well, which is the chips, gravy and cheese thing, which I think is Canadian.
Yes. Like last year people were talking about the poutine, just saying, oh, the poutine, Adam, you must try the poutine. You can try the poutine. And this year, once again, oh, Adam, have you tried the poutine? These people are like coming up to me on a pen.
I haven't tried it either, so you're all right.
I haven't yet, no, but that's my cheese factor. So.
Yeah, I feel like I need to try that just so I can say I'm one of the aircon crowd by trying that.
We also hung around with MZ, Nerdy Girl Gaming, on Instagram while we were waiting for our food. Because I realised when I posted in our little chat that we had going on that we were in Susie's talk, she went, "I'm here as well." And so when we left, I said aloud to her, and I ended up just having a chat with her about stuff on the while we were waiting for our food. So that was nice. And then not long after that, we had our massive. Oh no! Actually, before that, what's his name? Tryring Games. Is it Nick? He came up to me and said, are you Matt from Toddcast? And I was like, yeah. He said, oh, thanks for your UK Games Expo map. And I'm like, oh, thank you very much. That's what everyone knows me for. So yeah, that was nice. And then we all went to our massive Instagram influencer photograph that we had taken at the big aircon sign. And then after that, we had a game of Heat with some reprobates.
It was a clash of the titans. And it's probably the only time, and I've got at least 5 or 6 videos on my YouTube of Heat. It's probably the only time I've actually played that of 100% correctly.
Are you sure, though? Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure we were playing that correctly. So that I was very happy with that. Even if I've lost, I'd be like, oh my God, thank God we actually played that correctly for once. What did you guys think to Heat?
I really like it. I like the... when Chris was explaining to us, he said basically it's a card game and the board is just the backdrop to it. And he's right. There's a lot of management of your heat cards and a lot of hand management and stuff like that. But I think it works. I think it works really well. And being able to having the track with the cards helps you visualize what the cards are doing. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes you'll get a card game that's like that, but it's just the cards.
Yeah.
And so you're playing them, but in your head you've got to try and figure out what it is that you're doing, but being able to see it in front of you, saying, oh, okay, if I move this many spaces forward, then I know I can do this and I can do all this stuff and I can stream this and move forward and things like that. So yeah, I think the board is a massive help, and I think it flows really well. Mechanically it's great, and the design of the cards is easy to read, and I just love the little racing cars.
Yeah, it's nice they come like pre kind of painted with little kind of numbers and stuff on. The numbers reflect what's on the back of your kind of dashboards and stuff. And I mean, we just played the basic game of that. There's a whole like, just in the base game alone, you get like a championship mode where you can do a couple of different races and stuff. Well, then the interesting thing about that is a garage mode where you basically get to choose what upgrades you begin with. So you have different cards rather than the 5-0 and heat card you begin with. I hadn't played that until very recently. And when I started playing that, I was like, oh my God, this game really opens up. Like, it's very much a thinking person's kind of racing game, as opposed to like Formula D, where there's a lot of luck depending on the dice you're rolling. But yeah, I could waffle on about Heat for a long time. I'm not a huge fan of racing games, but it's got a firm place on my shelf of opportunity.
Excellent. You bought the expansion as well, which you ended up not using, the wet track one.
Yes.
So what does that add to the game?
So what it brings two new kind of maps, one board, double-sided. So you get a Japanese course, and you also get a Mexican course. And they add a new thing on, which are basically chicanes. And when you're playing with the AI kind of drivers, one of the main criticisms of the AI drivers is they're not too competitive. Clearly, those people aren't playing the same race as I am, because I always struggle racing these things, but I never play correctly, so maybe that's it. So they've got a new rule in where basically they can move. Normally, they can only move around one corner at a time, but because there's chicanes in there, they can actually move over two. So it really kind of speeds them up a bit, makes them a real threat. And only on the Japanese course, there is a flooded section, which basically is when you're trying to move down a gear, just even one gear, it costs you a heat to do so. So, or move up a gear. So basically, whenever you're trying to just move one or two up, it just costs you more heat. And it can really throw a match when you haven't played with that rule, because you're like, oh, wait, you're planning to go around the corner at a certain speed, and you're like, oh my God, I don't have enough heat because I can't move down my gears. And they also bring the new orange car, so it brings up 7 players. Frustratingly, the expansion is called Heavy Rain. So I was expecting loads of weather conditions or things like that, but literally you have one map which has some flooded sections and no ability to add that new rule about flooded sections on the previous maps. I mean, there's a Great Britain map. Surely we should have water on that.
You'd think so, wouldn't you?
Maybe it's better maintained. I don't know. But yeah, overall, I was fairly happy with it. One thing that confused people with it, though, two things, actually. I'll be really quick with this. So the first thing was all the original maps have up to 8 players on them. So you've got like a kind of finishing line of 8 players. So you're like, great. There's going to be one expansion that brings out another character, then another one that brings out the final character, and then you're done. No, you're not done. Because this new map has up to 12. Does that mean they're going to bring out more? Are they going to have a team mode where you can have like just the same color cars, get two people with heat to come along, and you know, you can have teams or something? Brilliant. I don't know how that would work, but you know, only one generally do have two in the team. And the other thing, so people are like, well, what's going on with that? Why is there nothing in there saying, oh, we've added 12 and you know, we're going to do this later? There's no kind of roadmap from the looks of it. No pun intended there. The other thing which is frustrating people, I mentioned about chicanes and the fact that you could have these AI drivers move over to areas. So on the new maps, there's a little kind of chevron above certain numbers near the corners. So you know, if you end on that chevron, you basically can go even more speed around the corner. So they've said, well, you know, you can do that on a Great Britain map as well. And what you need to do is get a pen and you need to write on your
own. No,
I'm joking. Write a chevron on your actual zero. And the fact you guys are horrified, Joe, no. Just kind of goes to show why they didn't just have a sticker in there.
A sticker, yeah.
I imagine.
Even legacy games, you get a sticker, don't you, most of the time.
Yeah.
You can,
so I imagine there's going to be some stickers coming out, a sticker pack or something.
I hope so.
Because
someone will make one, if not. Somebody will make one on Etsy or something.
Yeah, exactly so. That.
Yeah.
And the last thing about heat before, you know, I just keep talking about heat. This has got a huge community of people who have basically made their own maps. There's like the Nuremberg course and stuff like that. You can like get
that's
a map
pretty
points.
Cool.
Yeah,
that's
there's like cool. 25 maps or something people have made. So people with more time than I have, and good luck to them.
I'm guessing people have been making maps out of real life racetracks, though, haven't they?
This is exactly it.
Yeah, that would account for it, I guess. If there's 25, at least, there's got to be more on there.
Did you mean Nürburgring?
Yes,
rather
the
than
Nürburgring. I don't watch Formula One, so yeah, anything I say, just edit it out.
Yeah. If I did that, the podcast would be 5 minutes long.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay, so that game lasted nearly 2 hours, didn't it?
Yeah.
But, it was a good game. Really enjoyed it. And then after that, we had a meeting scheduled with Lawrence and Amy from Sneaky Rascal Games, who were showing off Restless Spirits in the demo area, which for me was my game of the con. I don't know about you.
I tend to agree with that. I really enjoyed it. I don't know if it was... And I don't mean this with any disrespect to Heat, but I think I found it quite hard to get going into the turns. I enjoyed it, and I think it's good, but I'd need a few more games to really properly get into the cycle of like having sort of like when you discard the heat, because you've got about seven turn stages within one sort
it's
of
a
turn,
lot. Yeah,
and that's a lot. Whereas going to Restless Spirit was kind of the complete opposite type of game in terms of the length. So for me, that, and I thought after trying to get my head around Heat for 2 hours, I thought, oh God, I'm not going to be able to play this game that we're going to see now because my brain's just completely mashed. But pleasantly surprised, even despite that, I was able to pick it up quite quickly. So very, very easy to play, to teach. The artwork, I think they said it's not finished, but it looks finished. It's bang on. Really nice game. Yeah.
It's a card game where you are claiming spirits, and the spirits have got an ability that you can use once per game once you've claimed a spirit. But then also what you're trying to do is each spirit has got three like resources at the bottom of it, and there's like a marketplace of cards where you can get items that have those resources on them. And then once you've got the required resources, you can you flip the spirit over, and then the first person to claim over, I think, 3 or 5 spirits is the winner. But that's a very high level overview of the game. Yeah. There's a lot of interactions between the cards and the abilities, and sometimes the abilities get more powerful if you've got like one spirit and then spirits of the same type either side of it. Then you gain more powerful abilities. But no, it was really. We both really liked it. It takes about half an hour to play. So we had a game of it on the Saturday afternoon. Really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Martin from Paper Boat Games spoke to us and he said it was his favourite game. And he'd been like back three times and played it.
Yeah.
Just whenever they were running a demo, he'd keep walking up and saying, "Can I join it?"
I mean, that's a good sign, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and you didn't get a chance to see it, did you? But again, this one I'd really recommend you look at because I think you'll really enjoy it.
You told me about it and I messaged them straight away on Instagram and said, "Guys, I'm gutted I missed your store. I think they're at UK Games Expo, though." So that's another one I'm adding to my list of people I need to go talk to at the UK Games Expo.
Yeah.
Look great.
Yeah.
So after that, it was the raffle. So we went into the Royal Hall. Well, we went into the side bit first and got our raffle tickets, and then went and sat down with all the other people hoping to win.
And you won it all.
Piles of games.
You won everything, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh,
absolutely. Even the ones with input buckets with input tickets.
Yeah. But actually, I really like the way they do it. So, for those who don't know, they have like 8 piles of games that various people have donated.
And it is piles. It's not just a few on a table. It's like 20, 30 games or big items per.
Yeah, and it's not like, you've got a pile of Monopoly Liverpool, Monopoly Manchester. It's like, this is Bardsung. This is like Mythic Battles Pantheon, the entire like collection. It's pretty good swag.
Yeah, and they mix it up as well. Like there was one that was quite minis heavy.
Yeah.
And then there was others that had a few minis but maybe had some other stuff in. There were others that were a bit more family oriented and stuff. So you can pick and choose. And if every pile's got a bucket, so you buy your tickets, you decide, you go around and strategically decide which buckets you're going to place tickets in and how many. And then they draw for every single bucket. You win a big old pile of games if you're very lucky. And I think if you get drawn for more than one bucket, if you are that lucky, I think they redraw. But you get first pick on which one you want. So, yeah.
And it's all to a good cause as well. I mean, how much did they raise Lowe's this year, right?
It was over 10 grand.
£10,000, which is brilliant. That was Mary's Meals. And what was the other one?
What was the other one? I got a picture on my phone, I think, of the what they did.
Escaped me.
Yes, you're right. Mary's Meals was the one. Yeah. Let me just have a look. Keep talking.
Forget we're doing audio. Yeah. I think it was more than, I can't remember how much it was last year, but it was at least a couple of grand more than they raised last year.
Yeah, and that's the main thing really with this charity raffle, because speaking for most nerds who went to that thing, none of us really need any more cardboard or plastic in their lives. But
no, we don't, do we?
it's lovely to imagine you could to get up all of that stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean, the main issue is getting that stuff home.
Yeah, that is a big issue. If you've not come with a car, yeah, it might be a little tricky because
I came with a car, but I really came with like a full boot full of board games and people.
Yeah, I mean, I think we did joke that we'd send Adrian home on the train if we won. So. Thankfully, it didn't come to that.
So, funnily enough, when we were leaving on Sunday, I was paying for my car parking, and there was a couple of guys waiting behind me with a couple of bags of games, and I was saying, "Yeah, you always end up leaving the convention with more games than you came with." And you said, "Well, yeah, because I won one of the raffle things."
Wow.
Like, "Oh, great." And he went, "Yeah, great. I've got, luckily, one of our friends is staying with his parents this weekend now. So rather than we don't have to take him home. So we've got his seat in the car to use." And I was like, "Oh, right, okay, congratulations." And he went, "Yeah, congratulations." And there was one guy as well, when the raffle ticket was drawn, he just shouted out from the back of the room, "My wife's going to kill me."
That was his, "Yes, it's my winning ticket." That was his response.
That's great. That would have been most people's, like, that would have been my reaction. I told my wife, "Oh, I'm, you know, there's a raffle there. So, oh, you know, you've already cleared quite a few games away, Adam. You literally can't think more now. So like, yeah, but you know, I didn't actually put a raffle together this year. My bad, you know. So I could have got it vicariously through him, really.
£10,058. Wow. Split equally between Mary's Mills and Playful Futures.
It's great.
I don't know what Playful Futures do.
That was that the Imagination Gaming?
Oh, I don't know. Playful. If I can Google, if I can actually type, I can. Playful Futures.
If only we did our research before the show.
Yeah. Consummate professionals.
The Playful Futures project is a whole. Oh, it's to do with schools, isn't it?
Yeah.
They take games into schools and use them to help teach things. So, yeah.
That's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Mary's Meals was meals. I can't remember again.
Mary's Meals serves nutritious school meals to children living in some of the world's poorest countries.
Yeah.
Well done.
They had a stand there, didn't they? I think.
Yeah, well done to everyone for that. That's fantastic.
Yeah. So that was it for Saturday for us. And then we went out to get, then we went back to the apartment, got changed, had a quick shower, went to get some food, and then collapsed.
Can I tell you about my Saturday evening?
Go on then.
Saturday evening was Star Wars Unlimited tournament.
Oh,
wow.
Star Wars Unlimited, new kind of Magic the Gathering / Lorcana hybrid that's come out. Asmodee were there over the over Akon and basically like just running demos of it. My brother had seen this was coming up, so he basically got a ticket for him and myself to this tournament that was coming on. So like, great, that's fantastic. And in there it said beginners welcome. So we were like, we don't need to have played this game, right? We got up to a room full of guys and ladies who were about to start this kind of thing off, and I was watching a how to play video. I should have just found Rodney Smith because this is a video I was watching, and it was talking you through it. And I was like, okay, so far, you know, so Magic the Gathering, like all the concepts and stuff. And my brother's like, oh, should we probably speak to somebody to see whether we're allowed to play this, because you know we've never played it. I'm quite sure. So he went and spoke to somebody, and they looked disgusted that we never played this game. They were like, what? You might, and they said, oh, you might struggle to play this. And I was like, well, we played Magic the Gathering, like, you know, I'm 40, so I've played a lot of card games, collectible card games, and I've dabbled in Lorcana, and they're like, oh no, I think you're going to struggle. In the end, it was lovely, because what happened, we had, they basically, before they began, they went, oh, are there any people here who haven't played? And not just us, but Boxed Meeples were there as well. They put their hands up, so it's like, oh, thank God, it's not just me and my brother there. So they had some guys come over and do a demo for us to teach us how to play it.
Oh, that's good.
That was really good. And then, yeah, you just basically played this game. And every time you won, you went up and said, I won. And they gave you another 15 card booster pack to open and just kind of like enjoy.
It's
a slippery slope playing those kind of games, though. Like, my God, it's essentially cardboard crack. It's very addictive. But it was
how
very
many games
good,
did you win?
Fun game. If you like Magic the Gathering, Lorcana, definitely check it out.
How many did you win?
So here's the thing. I cut myself off. We played a demo game, me and my brother, and then we played a game after that. I won, and I was like, I'm going to finish now as reigning champion. It wasn't reigning champion. I was like, I'm going to finish now, because Alex, who would also come with, he was kind of lurking around the halls, and I kind of felt bad he was there. I could see my brother didn't want to leave, so I was like, you don't have to come with me. You can stay and play some games. He played three more, didn't win any, and he was like, oh, yeah, but it was really fun. I do recommend it if you like those kind of games. The artwork's isn't for everybody, but it was fun. It was different enough from Magic the Gathering and Lorcana to warrant a place in your wallet, I guess.
Okay. Interesting.
That was my Saturday.
Did you do anything else during the day other than playing Heat with us? What other games did you play on Saturday?
So we played. So we went around the exhibit hall, and we went to the Hasher area. We played Stomp the Plank, which we'd never played before. It's kind of marketed as kind of like a child's game, but it's. I spoke to Fabian, he designed it. And he was like, "Oh, we have more people without kids buy this game than more people who do."
Have
you played Stomp the Plank?
No, we haven't.
It's a really simple premise. You have like a little ship. You have four planks which are magnetized. You have little elephants. And you're basically drawing cards out to see how many, like, basically keep drawing cards out. You're trying to get it's kind of pushy luck. If you ever get doubles of the same card, you have to move your elephant one step closer towards the end of the plank. If you stop at some point, depending on where you did this little kind of line, you add weights to everybody else's planks at the end of their plank. So they start getting kind of weighing down. You can't do one hand actions on this this podcast. And then if you manage to get all eight of these cards completely unique, you just win the game. But yeah, we played that and it was really fun. Like, it was surprisingly good. So that was Alex's game of the show. He really enjoyed that.
Cool.
Then Christopher went away and played War of the Worlds one more day.
We went and we didn't play, but we did go and do some filming.
Yeah, we've got a video with Matt coming out soon. I was hoping you'd talk about this because you've spoke to him a lot more than we have. So.
Yeah, so we one of the nice things about AirCon, I think the best thing for AirCon for me is meeting people and talking to people. Yeah. It's so lovely. The UK Games Expo, you don't always get to do that. You can talk to people, but they're so busy. And after they finish at the stall, they'll probably go home because it's like, my God, this has been a really intense day. Matt from War of the Worlds One More Day, Christopher sat down, played a full game of it with him. And you can see my brother all over his Instagram. He looks like Ebenezer Scrooge in some of his pictures. It's hilarious. And then Matt went and joined us for a couple of games later on, and we kept seeing him and speaking to him. But we're hoping that he's going to come by our area and we'll kind of wrangle you guys into joining a game, because it's a solo / co-op narrative deck builder, I believe, from what Chris was raving about. But it looks great. It looks like there's a lot of thoughts gone into that. War of the Worlds, what a great kind of theme. And it's not used enough, I think, in my personal opinion. That was Christopher's game of the show.
I really like the look of it. And when Matt gave us a playthrough of it, I thought, this looks like the kind of game I would enjoy. It's sci-fi, so, you know, there's that element to it. But I think the way it works looks really fun. I don't know a massive amount about it, only what we've seen in like 10 minutes.
Me too.
Our video will be up. By the time people listen to this, our video that will probably be online anyway, so you can go to our YouTube channel and watch that. So
check that out. The last other thing I'd say as well was Heroes of the Shire. I played that. It was there last year. They were very busy. I didn't get a chance. This year I played it, and it was my game of the show. I absolutely loved it. I'd love to explain it to you guys, but really, it's... I don't know how I could. What's really interesting is there's three modes, but essentially a player versus player kind of a combat that remind me of dice throwing. Essentially, you pick a character, you've got specific statistics, and you're assigning, you're basically casting spells at each other and doing attacks and things. There's a really nice synergy between the characters, and it's very impressive, very well balanced. You can tell the guy who designed it used to design video games, because it's really tight, very well balanced. And then there's like a player versus environment mode where you do a big hex crawl. Big fantasy, lots of really nice artwork, very tight gameplay mechanics. I loved it. I couldn't explain how you play the game or anything like that. Bore you talking about it, to be fair, guys. But it was, highly recommend it. And there'll be the UK Games Expo. So, check that one out.
I have to
look at.
I think we saw it at the corner of our eyes, but it's one of those things that we just didn't get a chance to look at because we were only there for a couple of days. So.
It was strange because they were in a weird placement this year, because last year I kept seeing them and I was like, these look so good. But they're on a corner this year and I just felt it was a bit of a kind of path less traveled, but they were always busy there. It was pretty good to see them.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay, let's talk about Sunday then. So Sunday, as I said earlier, was our filming day. So let me go through all the games that we did videos with. And then if there's any that you played, Adam, or were interested in, then feel free to jump in. So Pandora Celeste, we've already talked about. We did Undermined with Devil Fly Games.
Okay.
Which is all about your prospectors, gold prospectors in the gold rush in America. And you're having to use equipment to blast through rocks. And when you blast through rocks, you get to draw cards that give you either treasure or things that aren't quite so
perils.
Nice. Perils, that's the word. Thank you. But it looks really fun. Mm-hmm. And that was on Kickstarter, I think, last year. And it's currently on Backerkit. I think it's Backerkit for pre-orders. and I was funnily enough, I went on this week to buy a copy, but then I thought, well, hang on, if they're going to have it at Expo, I can pick it up at Expo and not have to pay the postage. So I'm sorry, guys. I am going to get a copy, but I'm going to get it off you directly when you're at UKGE.
That makes sense.
It'll be a bit cheaper. But yeah, it looked really nice. The artwork was good. There was a lot of extra stuff as well, like play mats and things like that, which I actually think added quite a lot to the game.
Yeah.
But I'll probably just get the base game about the play mats. But it was good fun, and I like the mechanics of you roll dice to sort of say how much you're digging through the rocks, but that you combine the dice rolls with equipment that you've got in your hand. So you have like pickaxes, which you get like a basic pickaxe, which you can keep with you, or you can buy, you can sell some of the treasure that you accumulate during the game to allow you to buy better equipment. And you can also buy single-use explosives that give you a ton of damage as well. So if you have like an explosive that gives you 20 damage and you roll a 6, then you've got 26 in total. If the top card on the rock pile is a 12, then you do 12 damage, but then you've still got 14 left over. And if the next one's lower than 14, you can keep going and doing that as well, which is quite nice.
And there's a bit of player sort of interaction as well. Like you can, if you think you're going to be short on a dice roll, other players can, you can, I think, ask for help, or other players can offer help to you as well. So yeah, they can offer a dice roll for you in exchange for something, but there's no fixed sort of, you must offer a minimum of this, or you must give the other player who's helping this. You decide the terms amongst yourself. And you can refuse offers, or you can ask for help and everyone turns around and said, nah, you're on your own. I think that was quite nice as well. That was quite fun as well. And it also probably makes it a good family game as well, because if you've got children who are learning to play, you know, you can give them a bit of help to get going as well. So I think that was what I liked most about it. Cause I haven't seen that. I'm sure I've seen that in games before, but not very often. So quite like that. So yeah, I like that.
Next up was another game that people were raving about, actually, that a couple of people told us to go and see. And this was Spokes from Radical 8 Games. Now, you're nodding, Adam, so did you get told about this as well?
I got told about it, but I didn't get a chance to play it. But it looked really interesting. Lovely, yeah. Colourful kind of pieces on the table and stuff. It looked great.
So what you've got is you've got the board is a velodrome with all of these like little wooden...
Coloured wooden sticks,
which are the spokes. But every player has got like a bike, and then within the wheel of the bike, they've got a set number of these spokes as well. And what you're doing is on your turn, you're swapping a spoke in your bike for one on the board. And then if you've made a path of the single colour, you can move your little character along that path. There's a bit more to it than that, but that's basically what it is. You're moving something around your bike, swapping the spokes with the bike on your with the ones on the board, and then moving around. And there are some rules about what you have to do if you're going to finish on another player and things like that. But it's basically you're just trying to get around the board as quick as you can. And it's simple, but it looks really nice. And I think it's a game that it's got such a simple rule set. But the complexity comes in the fact that you've got to try and you'll be looking at the other players and trying to screw them over as well as get yourself around the board as quickly as possible. And there's probably be some quite interesting tactical decisions you'd have to make as well. So, yeah, I really like the look of that. And I think it's a game that if we get a chance at Expo, I think we should sit down and have a play of it, because I think it'll be quite enjoyable.
Yep. Add it to the list.
Yeah.
You really should get a physical list going. It's getting...
Yeah.
Got 2 months, only 2 months now. Wow. It just sounds like ages, but it will go quick.
Yeah. Next up was Meeple Inc.
Once
from
again,
Fujito Ergo Meeple.
Didn't play it, but it has some very nice table presence.
Oh, it has great table presence.
Oh, yeah.
Because it has a little mini Kallax. Undescript square shelving.
The DIY stores and furniture stores are available.
but it's a game. I think it's set in like an alternative 1970s where meeples are alive as well as us, from what I could gather on the, reading the website. And yeah, you're it's a worker placement game where you're using these meeples to make board games. But the components it's got are so nice. It's got like a mini gaming table that you use. Yeah. So it's got like a little wooden table with felt inside. And then when you get a box, you put the box inside and you can put things in the box. And then you choose what lid you want to put on it. And it's just so nice.
I just sit there and play with the components. Yeah. You know? I will play the game, but if it was just, it's like a Doll's House style board game setup. I know there's been games, previous games that have been a bit like that, like Shelfie Stacker, which I got for Matt previously. But this sort of takes it a little bit further in terms of components. So yeah.
It looks delightful.
It does, yeah.
Yeah, really does. Next up we did Meeple Inc. Oh, it's probably just finished the Game Found campaign. Let me just have a look at it. Because when's it? Oh yeah, it ends in it ends in 2 days after, so it won't be still up by when people hear this. But because it's on GameFM, there'll probably be late pledges and things like that. But they've their goal was £20,000, and they've made £140,000.
Wow, 1,239 backers as of this point.
Wow, yeah,
it's pretty good.
So
well done to them.
Yeah, done very well.
They know the audience.
They do. Yeah. They do. Next up, we did Restless Spirits, which we've already talked about. Mm-hmm. Now we're getting onto the ones I haven't edited yet. So let's have a look at the raw footage that I've got on my camera. Oh, Survive Alive from Schnarf Games.
Oh, I'm gutted about this because, like, last year, the Survive Alive, which is a kind of, it's a something and right game, right?
Yeah, it's sort
wasn't
of
roll and right.
Flip and right.
Is it flip and right?
I don't know what they call it, actually.
But it's because
you talk, I'll Google.
I saw them last year, and they were in the playtest zone, and I didn't get a chance to sit down and play them. So when I did I always do a thing where I run around and just talk to everybody and go with my terrible microphone. No one can hear me talking on there. But yeah, find out what everyone's doing. And they had a proper booth this year, and I was like, right, we're going to come back. Every time we came back, they were busy. So it's like a lovely problem to have where it's like, well, I'd love to have played that, but they were busy. So that's fantastic for them. But yeah, it looked great. So how was it, guys?
We didn't actually play it. We only did a video with so many other games. It says it's a medium weight strategy draw and write game.
Draw and write.
That's set in a post-apocalyptic world. But yeah, this was on my list of things that I wanted to look at. So when we saw him, I think we managed to walk past him just when he'd done a demo and they were waiting for no one else had turned up yet. So we managed to do a quick 5-minute video with him. But, I mean, you know, the post-apocalyptic zombie theme is sort of overdone. But I think they've done all right with this. I think they've implemented it in a really nice way. And I say the video we did was very short, but I think simple enough game, but it's got a lot of I don't want to say possibilities, but there's a lot of interactions between the various elements of the game that could make it more complex than you think it would be from first look. I mean, on BGG it's got a weight of 3 out of 5, so for a roll and write style game, that's quite heavy, really. But yeah, I'd like to have a proper game of it, and again, if they're at UKGE, they're definitely going on the list for me to have a sit down and play off. So, yeah. What is next? Next was War of the Worlds, which we've talked about. And then the last video we did was with Andrew from Rogue Artist Creations. So he was there showing off his new escape room boxes this year.
Oh, I saw those guys by the stairs. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, Andrew's great. We've had him on the podcast before. We've done videos with him before. Karen and I played one of his games on one of our very first dates. So,
well,
yeah, we like we like
some treachery.
Yeah. So we like Andrew. He's a nice guy, and so he was showing off his different escape rooms, and he's got them. They're all set in different historical eras. So, whatever your favorite era was, he has a game for you.
Pretty much, yeah. It was like Vikings, Romans,
the list. I can see the list here.
Oh, you've got the list there.
Yeah, Ancient Rome, Tudors, Ancient Egypt, Vikings, Renaissance, World War II, and the Victorians.
All the hits.
And it, Yeah, and yep. He said he's working on a pirate one as well. So,
yeah, I'll be keeping an eye out for that. That's one of my favourite themes. So,
but yeah, he sold loads of them over the weekend. In fact, he'd run out of some of the physical copies of some of them, so he was selling them on USB keys.
People wow, wanted, that's great.
Because you can just print them out. Yeah. He was doing a fun thing where, I mean, the price that he was selling them for was slightly cheaper than if you went to his website to buy them. But he was also giving you a pound off if you could correctly answer a historical trivia question. So he'd get a D20 and you'd roll it. And then based on which game you wanted, he had a piece of paper with all the questions from that era. So So you got the... So which era did you choose? I can't remember which one it was. Was it the... Ancient Rome, was it?
Rome, yeah.
And the question you got was, what's the difference between a viaduct and an aqueduct?
Yeah.
Come on, Adam. What's the difference between a viaduct and an aqueduct?
I want to say something to do with... I know an aqueduct is like... They're both aqua-based, I kind of felt. I don't know. I'll be honest, it's been a long time.
I didn't. And it wasn't until Karen said the answer that it clicked in my head. Okay. So go on, Karen. Put him out of his misery.
An aqueduct is to carry water, and a viaduct is for like road or rail.
There we go.
As a bridge.
Which makes sense, because aqua is water and via is a route. So, yeah, there you go.
The clue's in the title.
Indeed, exactly. Now that I've thought about it, it's obvious, but if you'd have just asked me, I'd have been like, I don't know. So, he's got all those for sale on his website, rogueartistcreations.com. We haven't played the one that we bought yet, but looking forward to giving that a go.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that was it, I think. That's all we got up to on the... That was our last video, and that was our Sunday done. And after that, it was a nice 3-hour drive home, getting screwed over at the Greggs on the services on the way back. Because I was served by a trainee who overcharged me and then didn't give me the food I'd ordered, but hey-ho.
Well, no.
We got there in the end, I think.
Well, we got there in the end.
I played one game on Sunday.
Okay.
It took us 4 hours to play this game. On my YouTube, one of the main kind of ongoing series we do is a game called Shadows of Brimstone, which is a Weird West dungeon crawler. Is honestly, if I could only own one game, it would be that. Mainly because I have so many expansions for it, I just keep playing forever. What was really nice is we actually had some people who followed the channel, who watched the YouTube videos, actually come along and play it with us. Nice actually like meeting some people who I've kind of chatted with, and they've been following the channel. And what was especially nice is one of the people who came along was a 10-year-old boy called Finn. His dad was there, obviously. It wasn't just he'd turn up on, you know. And he was correcting me on so many rules errors I was getting. And that was lovely. But no, he brought his own miniatures he'd painted. And it was fantastic to hang out with him. So, it was great. 4 hours, but it was... And a custom-made adventure I'd made up on a week before or something. I haven't play-tested. But, the Shadows of Brimstone was so much fun. I now know some of the rules. Which is great.
Maybe you could have him as the die rolling official rules mascot.
We could do with one of those. We really could. Yeah.
How was your trip back home? Was it all uneventful?
It was uneventful. Everyone was really tired in the car. I was driving, woke up driving, a few points. It was fine. It was a really pleasant drive up and down, to be fair. Last year, obviously, there was a lot of ice and stuff, so it was not especially great. This time was lovely. It was fairly nice. I got home a reasonable hour, so it was lovely. Tiring, long days, but really fun.
Yeah.
And my voice had gone. It's bang now, sorry guys, but it was gone. Trying to teach Captain Sonar in a loud kind of convention hall will do that to you.
Yeah. Oh, I can imagine. Okay, let's sum up Aircon in one word each. Then let's try that. I'm going to say, I should have thought this through before I asked the question. One word. Okay, let's maybe a sentence then. Fun, friendly, and welcoming. There we go.
So three
very welcoming for gamers, I think. So that's how I would class Aircon.
Well, you've just stolen two of my words. But... I was going to say fun and friendly, and could probably go with cozy as well, to be honest, because it's nice and relaxed. Cozy slash chill, probably.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've all got the same kind of opinion on this, to be
absolutely
fair. It was fun, it was friendly, sociable. Just one word for me would be sociable. It was lovely.
Yeah.
Like the highlight for me was meeting so many people. And I'm not a big kind of Instagrammer. I use Instagram, but I often don't really know many of the other Instagrammers on there. But I had other Instagrammers coming up to me going, "We don't know anybody else, Adam. Hi." And that was really nice.
Yeah.
Just, you know, it strokes the ego, so that's good. No, it was lovely meeting so many people. Shout out to Board Games Weymouth. They were absolutely lovely. I don't know if you met Dan and Paige, but for me, they kind of won aircon because they were just absolutely lovely people. But yeah, so the sociable side of it is the best thing. You don't get that UK Game Expo.
No,
this is the biggest sell for me, and it was just fantastic use of my time.
I've just remembered something I forgot to mention, which was that we bought something.
Hey?
We bought the little 3D printed card holders with the component trays in.
Oh, yeah, we did, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I can't remember the name of the company that made them now. Let me just get my Excel spreadsheet up. Did you see these, Adam? The people who were selling all the 3D printed accessories?
I did, yeah. They're on the corner, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Lots of nice kind of selections to pick up this year, like lots of artsy places and... Yeah, lots of illustrations. The illustrations were fantastic, some of the stuff there. And the mead was nice. Always good to have a little sample of mead.
Yeah.
We bought a bottle last year. We haven't even opened it yet.
We're not big drinkers.
No.
Yeah, we'd be like, oh, we'll save it for, like, you know, a nice time. We've not.
Not having
nice
times.
We've not managed to find one yet. But not nice times, but just, yeah, the right time.
Yeah.
It's just not coming up, so.
Geeky Meeples 3D printing. That's it.
There we go.
So they were selling all sorts of like component trays and things, but the ones we bought were their sort of rectangular 3D printed shapes with five component trays in the middle, and then a slit for you to put your cards in when you're playing a card game. So you don't have to hold them in your hand, you can just have them in the little thing. They were £5 each. We got five in different colours, and I really like them. They're pretty cool.
I didn't buy anything at all. Now, if I was going to buy something, Lucky Fox Studios did animated battle maps. They look so cool. Like, if you're one of those people who has a fantastic kind of setup, and you have people come around for D&D, and you have, like, one of those really nice gaming tables that has an LCD screen in it.
Oh, yeah.
They would be so cool for that. I'm not one of those people. But they do physical maps as well. And it's like, oh, I could get some of those and I'll play them, but I did not. Lots to buy there. It was great.
I'm just looking at Geeky Meeples eBay page. They've got little wicker baskets for calico that you put the cats in.
Yeah, that caught my eye as well.
I didn't see those. Oh my god, that's so cute.
They also might do for Isle of Cats or something.
Okay, they got stuff for Pandemic and a few other bits and pieces as well.
Spares for Operation.
Yeah.
That sounds like a dangerous site.
Quedlinburg, 3D printed things. Yeah, they got lots of upgrades.
Loads.
Awesome. Okay, I'll have to investigate that a bit more afterwards.
I think I'm going
to
be going into that
list now.
Right, let's give the convention a score out of 10. I'm going to give it a 8.5 out of 10. And the only reason it's not a 9.5 is because of the smell in the exhibition hall. That's the only thing that annoyed me over the weekend. I thought everything else was great.
So I think despite that, I'm still going to give it a 9.
Okay.
I think.
And, you know, the thing with the smell, I don't think it was their fault.
Oh, no, I'm not saying it was their fault. But it just took a bit off.
It did take the edge off a little. I'm going to say it's a 9 from me. It would be 9.5 if someone could tell me what is behind the little door.
The little door.
Every year, I'm like, what's behind the door? No one knows. So if Mark could open that door up at some point and show us what's in there, that would be fantastic. But yeah, it's a 9 for me. It was such a lovely time. The fact that you can just play there all day, meet lovely people, and just nerd out and be around people who your people, basically.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Solid 9.
Okay. Yeah. 9. I'll say 9. Let's say 9's all around then.
Yay!
Right then, Adam. Where can people find you online?
Oh, in the darkest corners of the dark world. So you can find me on YouTube and Instagram. YouTube is Die Rolling without a G. And my Instagram is Die Rolling with a G. Long story behind that. But you can essentially find me on Instagram. Just type in Die Rolling or search anywhere for the ever excitable Adam and I'll pop up somewhere.
Indeed. Well, thank you very much, mate. It's been a pleasure as always.
Always a pleasure. Never a chore from my side.
Oh, that's so nice. Okay. If people want to find our stuff online, it's links.offlinegamer.co.uk has everything on there. So just go there and you can choose what you want to watch, YouTube or throw us some money on Ko-fi or anything like that. No competition this month, unfortunately. Unless you've got anything you want to give away, Adam.
Just my adoring love. That's free, though.
Excellent. There you go. Everyone, just email Adam and ask him to send some love your way. And on that note, we'll see you all next month. What is next month? It's April.
April, yeah.
And then it's May, and then it's UK Games Expo.
Indeed.
Yay.
I didn't come around quick.
Well, indeed. Right, everyone, we'll see you soon. Thanks for listening, as usual, and see you next time.